call the March 20th, 2012 Sussex County Council meeting in order. Councilman Cole, I understand, is on the way in. He thought we had a fog delay, but we're going to go to regular time.
He took a two-hour delay, did he?
I thought so, yeah. Approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Yes, Mr. President, good morning. Thank you. We can strike from the agenda under Robert Stewart, Director of EMS, Paramedic Station 103. And we can also strike from executive session job applicants' qualifications.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. In our packet, we had the minutes from February 28th. Any corrections, changes, or concerns? Hearing none, they'll be approved. And we also had a note in there about a change to the minutes of January 31st. We'll entertain a motion to make that correction to those minutes.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second. Mr. Wilson, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have several letters. The first is from the Delaware Lions Foundation. That they wish to acknowledge the donation of from the council members to the foundation for humanitarian services and service projects. Next is from the YMCA and thanking for the human service grant. The Delaware Nature Society would like to thank us for the opportunity to present the Choose Clean Water presentation on the February 28, 2012 County Council meeting. The Delaware Equine Rescue of Delaware's Changing Fates Equine Rescue of Delaware, Inc. I would like to thank the council for the generous grant. And then there is a letter to from Ms. Deaver that she asked to be read, and it was from Representative Ruth Briggs King. I am writing to express my concern over the massive drainage problems that are plaguing the residents of the 37th Representative District. While areas of our county have periodically suffered from storm-related incidents, this current persistent pattern of precipitation has brought to light the imminent dangers associated with a failure to enact a comprehensive drainage code which specifically addresses the county's unique just drainage patterns and over which there can be regulatory enforcement. Sussex County within the Atlantic Coastal Plain has a mean elevation which is lowest in the nation. Statewide, only three of our rivers flow westward, leaving the remainder of the surface flow to ultimately drain across our lands into Delaware Bay. Historically, our farmland has drained through a series of tax ditches which created a system for the management of surface water. While our forefathers saw a need to drain the land to prevent flooding during the pre-development farming era, we have failed to see that the upkeep of that system and the implementation of an enhanced comprehensive water management system are necessary to ensure the safety of homes and properties as well as the health of our constituents. Land use is traditionally the responsibility of the local government entity. With that responsibility comes accountability to those who invest in our county. It is time to address this issue, which is so blatantly before us, for it will not go away without change. I recently received a copy of a councilperson's communication that validated the recent flooding and damage to property. It stated that the Conservation District's funds over the past few years were not sufficient for them to move ahead with their 21st century projects, which would have provided drainage management in many of the older communities. There seems to be a concurrence in this statement that this and previous councils were aware of the history of flooding problems. The communique ended with, "I hope that we can find the funding to help this situation." It is not funding that is the necessary component in this situation. With the state's 21st Central Program was set up to assist residents with minor flooding issues, there never was any intent that this program was to remove the responsibility of the county in this matter. Our flooding concerns today are not necessarily within those older communities, but of those newer communities who have non-existent or inadequate drainage controls. What is needed is the proactive development and implementation of a drainage code that addresses issues of stormwater management countywide. We cannot continue to only address these issues reactively. I would certainly be willing to talk about a path forward and do whatever's necessary to help with the implementation of this important piece of legislation. Ruth Briggs King.
Thank you.
Any more correspondence?
That's all the correspondence.
Any correspondence from council? Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. Yes. We have a couple presentations to start with this morning. Our first presentation will be from the Sussex Conservation District. Jessica Watson will lead that presentation for us. Thanks for being here today, Jessica.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity this morning.
We don't get the bus tour with this one, do we?
I'm sorry.
We don't get the bus tour with this presentation.
Correct. No tour this morning.
You did have a bus tour when you presented it the first time, which was very educational. Thank you.
Thank you. Sussex Conservation District. I am the program manager of the Sediment and Stormwater Program. As you're aware, the Sussex Conservation District is delegated sediment and stormwater program elements, including sediment and erosion control plan review, construction inspection, maintenance inspection, outreach and education, and technical assistance. And our technical assistance reaches us into all kinds of drainage problems dealing with homeowner construction. And some of the more prominent complaints that we receive, we see new lines and grades, drainage directed to the lower property, homes constructed in sumps, homes built below the road, sump pump irrigation discharge issues, and our normal problems here in Sussex County, ditch and stormwater conveyance issues, not having proper outlets, and ditch maintenance always being a challenge. And this particular picture shown, there are two homes. You cannot see the one on the right, but the one on the right was actually constructed first. Both homes were constructed by the same developer, and as you can see, the new home is directing runoff to the adjacent property. Now, the challenge with this particular project, it is a minor subdivision, is located on Oak Road, is that there's no outlet for the stormwater. So when we went out to this particular situation, we were hoping to provide technical assistance and relief for the drainage problem. However, if you look to the rear of the property, it's actually at a higher elevation. And if you were standing from the road, there's no drainage along the road either. So this property is not only built in a sump, it's also now collecting runoff from newly constructed properties.
What would prevent that from happening? What would be a good, simple way to keep that from happening in the future?
Well, we're going to discuss options. I'm not sure with the county for a path forward, but possibly that person being aware when they purchase the property that it's located in a sump, or that builder at least being notified that they need to elevate the property above the road elevation to prevent the actual structure from flooding. So there, I think there's various options that we can maybe talk about. So drainage, single-family home construction, again, these are drainage complaints that we go out to quite regularly. Homes are being constructed lower than the road and therefore collect surface runoff from the road. This is a project located in Seaford. And this is a pretty exaggerated picture. You can see no lines and grades were required for the single-family home that's constructed, and you can see the elevation of the road. The runoff from that road is going to be directed to the lowest point, which is that house. The road is significantly higher than the single-family home. So, again, the district is contacted to provide technical assistance. This is very common for a lot of new subdivisions. The front of the house typically drains to the road, and the rear of the house drains to the backyard. Well, when all of the backyards are draining, if there is no conveyance provided for the rear lot drainage, you're going to have flooding problems. We get calls on this and complaints all the time. And what we try to tell developers, it's important to plan for this ahead. It is so much more expensive to resolve this problem after the fact. when the roads, irrigation, utilities are already in place, and then you're trying to find a drainage solution, you're spending a lot of money to correct something that you could have implemented initially.
Is that trails at Beaver Creek?
This project is not. This is Wagamans West Shores in Milton.
Well, people from Wagamans contacted me and said they have basements.
Yeah, some of the properties, and that's a good point. The district, we do not review or approve. We have no idea when a project is going to have basements.
What's our position on basements in Sussex County?
I believe when they go to apply for a building permit that it is recommended that they have a soil scientist investigate whether it is acceptable to have a basement in that location. It's not something that's reviewed by our office.
On a case-by-case basis is what you're saying.
Well, I think it's up to each builder, and it's recommended that they have a soil scientist investigate whether or not it's feasible for them to have a basement. So I'm not sure if it's something that's actually being regulated.
No, there's no regulations. Okay.
So this was actually a stop on our tour, drainage, again, of a single-family home. And what we have is homeowners taking it upon themselves to resolve their own drainage problems. In this particular situation, and it's hard to tell from the picture, but there was a drainage problem out there, and how we were originally notified by this, the house that you can't see to the right where the fence is, the bank has taken over that particular home, and they're trying to sell the property. However, they have a drainage problem, and so they contacted us and said, you know, Conservation District, can you help provide a solution? We cannot sell this property because not only are we receiving drainage from the farm that's behind us, our neighbor also filled his lot by several feet and now directs his runoff to our property.
And anybody can do that in the county anytime.
That's
you
correct.
You could be living next door to someone. They could go and put fill on their property, and it could all drain onto your property. That can happen anytime. So what you're saying is there's...
Yes. Okay. As long as the only time our office would get involved is if the disturbance is over 5,000 square feet, and that's when it kicks it into the sediment and stormwater regulations. If you disturb more than 5,000 square feet, you are required to have permit coverage. But we have this come up all the time. I pass signs where it says fill needed, or you'll see piles of dirt in people's yards trying to elevate it. And we saw this. It was pretty common after 2009, 2010, after we experienced those floodings. People were looking for fill and wanting to elevate their property because they did not want a reoccurrence.
But it could happen right next door to you.
That's correct. And we can't do anything at the Conservation District. And we tell people that your neighbor could actually direct their downspouts directly to your property, and really it's a civil action suit between the two parties. So a common complaint, again, drainage swales in Sussex County when you have compacted yards. You know, we are challenged with drainage here. We're flat. In some areas, we have poor soils. And then when you add irrigation and sump pump discharge, these are all challenges to not only our program, but other agency, county agency programs. So this was another tour stop. We went to Zora Estates, the project in the upper right corner. That was after the project, after the stormwater facility, which is an infiltration pond, was constructed. It worked very well for a number of years. However, in 2009, 2010, with seasonal high groundwaters reaching historical elevations, the pond was not able to function, but this was also an area that flooded regionally. When the bank took this project over, they were responsible for fixing it and did provide an outfall for this pond. However, our newest challenge is home construction. So as the bank took the project over, sold it off to a new developer, and then those lots were sold off to multiple builders, we're now challenged with each builder doing their own thing. There's no communication on first floor elevations. There's no consistency between the lots that are being graded. So we have some lots that are high, some are low, and we do believe that there's going to be challenges down the road for this community drainage-wise.
So the people that I represent there in Zora Estates, moving into new homes, you're telling me that you're telling us that those homes probably will flood. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is they will experience probably drainage problems,
uh-huh,
and under extreme situations, they might have some flooding. You know, it's hard to tell at this point, but you can see driving through the community which ones are set lower than the road. You can see the rear lot drainage goes
up
where there's trees.
Well, some people can see that. You can see it. But
yes.
I'm not sure that our buyers can see it. I'm not
sure. And that's a good point.
You know, people
most people
outside of Sussex County are not used to how low of the area is and how poorly it drains.
Right. So, and you bring up a good point. Oakcrest Farms, which is a project that's been around probably since 2002, it's almost fully built out except for a couple remaining lots. And we've had drainage problems in the community. And what you were bringing up, most people don't know what they're purchasing. And we have a lot of people that retire here and move here from out of state, and they look at a rendering that you see to the right, and they say, okay, I want to sit by the pond.
Sam, would you please be quiet? I can't hear.
And they'll just pick us.
Do you want to stop? Do you want to stop?
Joan can't hear her conversation.
Old ears.
And so this is a rendering to the right. And many people, they don't actually go to the site. They don't, maybe they're out of state. They don't have the opportunity to see that property after it rains. And they will just pick a lot. And they'll say, okay, I would like a pond view, so I'm going to pick lot number 3 or 5 or whatever it is, not ever visiting the lot, looking at the soils, looking at the grade. And when we went to our tour, it was quite evident on this particular project that there were areas that were significantly lower, not only than Beaver Dam Road, which is the road off of this project, but also internal roads in the community. And it was very obvious when you were driving down the road that some of those houses were sumped, you know, 18 inches below the road. And they've experienced drainage problems.
So what's the remedy? What do they do next after that? They put all their money in, the house is built, they're living there, it floods. What do they do? What's the remedy?
For some of those situations, there's nothing that can be done. And a couple of the pictures that I've shown here in this presentation, we've been involved in working with the engineer to resolve the problem, basically putting in catch basins and storm drain after the fact. And again, if they had just put that in up front, it would have been a less cost.
And the taxpayers are paying for it, and it costs more to fix it than it would to do it properly.
It costs more when you're working around utilities and storm drains, roads that are already paved. If they would just plan for this initially, it would save everyone a lot of money and heartache. And then in some of those situations with the lots, they're too low that there's, you know, there isn't a solution. So again, these are areas that we've worked with the engineer to resolve and added catch basins after the fact. So minor subdivisions, 4 lots or less, these are projects that do not come through the Conservation District for review. And one that I think most people have heard of is Iron Horse Ranch, which is also on Beaver Dam Road. And this project flooded significantly during 2009, fall 2009, 2010. And it was acres of property that was underwater. There's only 2 lots out there currently that are developed in this 4-lot minor subdivision. And as you can see, this gentleman here actually has a full basement. And the water was completely around his property, and he sandbagged around the property to try to protect it. And I'm going to turn the presentation over to Brooks Cahill with Denrec Drainage Section.
Thank you, Jessica. My name is Brooks Cahill. I'm the program manager for our drainage program statewide. Before I took that position in September, I managed our project workload down here in Sussex County. As most of you know, we have an office here in Georgetown. There's the phone number. And our office has 2 primary functions. We provide administrative and technical assistance to our tax ditches statewide and here in Sussex County. There's about 170 or so tax ditches, which I'll get to. We also have publicly funded drainage projects, which I'll also talk a little bit about. First thing is, as part of the Governor Minner's Surface Water Task Force, one of the things that came out of that was to have a central point of contact for drainage concerns throughout the state. And we rolled that out in 2007. Now anything that comes into either our office or the Conservation District gets logged in this database, and we now have, and they're all mapped and tracked. So since that was launched in 2007, which is just about 5 years of data now, we've had 1 drainage concern for every 112 housing units, according to the census data, in Sussex County.
What kind of plan?
In that 5-year period.
Was that plan funded?
Huh?
That plan funded? Were there state funds applied to that to run that plan? Or is the funding comes from to your agency? Is it a plan that was designed at by the Minner administration, is what you're saying,
right,
in 2007. Is that when they instituted the 21st Century Fund?
No, the 21st Century Fund program, and I'll get to that,
okay,
started in 1996.
But it was funded?
I'll talk a little bit about 21st right. Century Funds when I get to that slide. Let me just wrap up my thought here.
Okay.
So you can see the kind of specs on the map there on the right side of the slide shows that, really drainage concerns are spread throughout the county. There's no one concentrated spot. And there's also one drainage concern for every 131 parcels. As I mentioned, a big part of this, so once drainage concerns come in, some of them become then publicly funded drainage projects that are approved by the bond bill committee. The 21st Century Fund or Resource Conservation Development Projects started in 1996. And it was the purpose was to enhance the health of communities by ameliorating watershed and drainage issues. Again, these projects do have to get approval from the General Assembly. They've been funded incrementally by fiscal year to get to Councilwoman Deaver's point. Originally, the first 4 years, I believe, any projects that were on the list were fully funded. Our funding has then been reduced since then. There's now about $15 million needed to fund all the projects in Sussex County. That's about 250 projects that are currently active throughout the county. These projects do also require a non-21st Century Fund match of 10%. Generally, that comes from state legislators' community transportation funds. I mentioned tax ditches. There are 136, I misspoke earlier, 136 tax ditch organizations in Sussex County, about 1,200 miles. About 42% of the county is drained and served by tax ditches, and over almost 21,000 properties are benefited by a tax ditch.
Well, your group told us at a meeting a couple weeks ago that you're having trouble collecting the money to run the tax ditches. Is that still the case?
Tax ditches are each managed individually by the folks that live in the watershed, and they set their tax rates.
Mm-hmm.
It is a challenge to get them to collect enough taxes in some cases. Some ditches are really good and, mm-hmm. and have a lot of money in the bank and are, you know, good planners, but just like, you know, all people, some are better at financial planning than others. And it's the ones that aren't as good at financial planning that we have to work with and try to get their tax rates up. There is a cost share program through the Conservation District, and the demand on those funds, the 3921 funds, which the county contributes $75,000. The state contributes $75,000. The demand for those funds far exceeds the amount of money.
It seems like Joan doesn't quite understand this, but the county collects the tax ditch money.
That's correct. So
we don't have no trouble collecting it unless those don't pay their taxes. I'm a tax ditch manager. We never had that problem. So I don't know where you got that understanding, Joan, but you misunderstood somebody.
That's correct.
It's on the tax bill,
right? The ditch taxes are collected through the county property taxes, and then Sussex County then cuts a check or direct deposit now most of the time to the individual tax ditches three times a year as tax revenues, as folks pay their property tax.
But you did indicate to us at that luncheon meeting, your group did, that you're having trouble collecting for the running of the tax ditches. Now, what was that about?
Well, not collecting tax ditch revenue, but the finding funds to do tax ditch maintenance is the issue. Yeah, the amount of money in the 3921 funds has been reduced over the years as we've come through this financial period that we've been in, and that has put a strain on the tax ditch organizations themselves.
There's not enough money collected to do the projects. Basically, with the tax ditch money coming in. The expense to do the improvements are just so high nowadays. Doesn't match up. So
right, and the cost share funds that have been there in the past are no longer.
Either got to raise the taxes on the tax ditch people, mm-hmm. which nobody wants to do. Mm-hmm. Right. They don't want to do it. They do it to themselves.
They have to do it to themselves.
Right, right. Okay. And they won't do that. Right.
I wanted to
somebody else pays for it.
Yeah. Right. Okay. If we have homes around those areas, how does that affect the homes?
If we have,
they're not maintained.
Well. The tax ditch, and if I can go back, so the areas in this slide are areas that are drained by tax ditches. So you can see it's a very large portion of the county. And one thing I always like to point out when I'm talking about tax ditches is tax ditches were not created anywhere in the state because of somebody that worked at DENREC or the county or the conservation district said, hey, let's create this tax ditch in Del Mar. It was created because people that live there petition Superior Court to create that tax ditch because they had a drainage problem. In many cases, severe drainage problems. Some of the pictures that we have, you know, when the tax ditch program was really booming in the 70s and 80s, the pictures of those, you know, kind of before and after are substantial. And one of the things that we saw when we had the really wet winter of 2009-2010, in areas where we had tax ditches, we had much less problems because the drainage system was in place. They may have had some short-term issues, but the water was able to drain away through the tax ditch system. So maintenance to that system, that 1,200 miles of ditch in Sussex County, is imperative that we keep that up.
In most cases, it is.
In most cases, it is. It is getting more expensive as time goes forward.
What Joni's talking about here is not the tax ditches, but the ditches that haven't been ran to the tax ditches to drain her area that she's talking about. That's really the problem here.
No, and well, so go ahead, Sam. Sorry, go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. No, the issue that I have is that the tour that we took of these properties that were potentially flooded and did flood, they're all in the 3rd District, and I have to answer to these people. For some reason, these agencies and the county government the plan's not working. I am searching for some answers. That's what I'm doing.
As a result of, and we've heard quite a bit about the winter of 2009 and 2010, we did have two new fairly substantial tax ditch petitions that have been accepted by Superior Court and are now working on the planning order. Hudson Road tax ditch is the first one I'll talk about here, and that's the one we went on at the tour for those of you that were there. It's a 335-acre watershed. There's about 481 parcels that will benefit from this, as well as 3 Del Dot roads. I don't know if this has a pointer. It does have a pointer. So if you can kind of follow the pointer, in 2009, 2010, there's about 60 acres here that were underwater for about 3 months. One house, the folks that live there, they just gave up and walked away and let the bank foreclose on them. This property here had sandbags around their garage trying to keep the water out of their garage. They had to park up way by the street. They were at very, very much at risk if the rains had continued. So this project will basically tie this drainage in these two ponds here into Red Mill Pond down here.
Where is Spizzato on that map?
The Spizzato property is right here.
Okay, what about the community on the other side of the road that's being built right now? Is that part of this plan? I'd say it's River Rock or something.
River Rock is not part of this tax ditch.
It's not. Is it subject to problems like that?
The tax ditch boundary is this magenta line that comes around here like this. That the water from River Rock, I believe, and Jessica probably can answer this better, it goes out up here to the kind of the north and northwest.
So you're not predicting that there are going to be problems there?
Well, I'm not going to say where there are or not going to be problems there. That's simply not in the watershed. So the water from this area here doesn't go that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe it's on the high side.
Right.
It's hard to get warmer up.
I did want to point this out. This is a problem. This isn't a new problem. We've had issues there in the past. There have been issues 3 times in the last 15 years that we've had problems. For a long time, we could not get permission to come through this property because of some environmental issues when this was a cattle farm. The second is Guinea Creek proposed tax ditch. This is a much bigger project, 750 acres, 643 parcels, 6 Del Dot roads, and Sussex County government has a wastewater treatment plant right here with spray irrigation that will benefit and had significant problems in 2009, 2010, and in fact, much of the petition money to put the petition into Superior Court was put up by the county for that project.
What's the name of one of those roads? I can't see.
This is Cannon Road.
Okay, that's still in the 3rd district.
This is Indian Mission Road. So this is Route 5 and 24 where the food line is right here.
Mm-hmm, right.
Royal Farms, I think, is down, mm-hmm. Kind of down here.
Yeah, share
bit.
That with George, I think. That's part of
Again, this isn't a new problem either. This is a new attempt. It was previously petitioned to be a tax ditch in the early 80s, that there was not landowner support to move it forward. Some of those landowners have changed, and one of them has changed their opinion on the project. So we're We're hoping that it's going to move forward. We also tried to do it as a public ditch in the mid-90s as well, and weren't able to get the landowner support. So we're hoping that it moves forward. It is definitely needed. If you were in this area in 2009, 2010, you certainly saw the severe flooding that was there. Last thing I'll talk about is the statewide. There is an initiative that was created by Senate Bill 64 last legislative year that created the Floodplain and Drainage Advisory. Actually, I put council, it should be committee. It's composed of about 20 representatives from both public and private interests. And that group is working on sending recommendations to our secretary, Colin O'Mara, in early May that will address many of these drainage issues as well as some floodplain issues that were floodplaining, building in the floodplain and those sorts of issues that we're also dealing with. That's actually another group in our agency, but they've been kind of combined. As part of the process that was laid out by Senate Bill 64 is once we have these recommendations developed, there is a process of county and municipal review to see what impacts these recommendations would have to local governments. And then that information will then be rolled up in a report that goes back to the General Assembly.
Well, what if we came up with our own plan instead of having to go with the state's plan?
You certainly could come up with your own plan. We would try to work with you to make sure that it met these. This effort is really is trying to establish a minimum baseline.
It's just advisory, isn't it?
Statewide, and it is advisory,
it's just
to the cabinet secretary.
Okay. But it could be regulation at some point.
Not from the state level at this point. Mm-hmm. Many of these issues are land use issues that need to come from the local governments, both at the county and municipal level. I'm going to hand it back over to Jessica now.
Thank you.
And if you have any questions for me, I'll just sit right up here.
This is really just a summary and kind of a path forward and options. And these are things that we have talked about. So, you know, establishing a work group with Sussex County to review the existing ordinance and develop a solution that would aid in proper lot grading and minimize drainage problems. We could develop a drainage and grading standards, develop a disclosure statement, incorporate the district into the certificate of completion process if we're going to inspect the lot grading, and any ideas that the county has. So these are just options that are available for discussion, and I wasn't sure what the path forward would be.
What about people like in Zora Estates? I mean, what can we do right now? Because homes are being built right now, and you have different builders in there, and there's no overall plan. What do we do about something like that?
We're doing the best that we can at the Conservation District to communicate to them on the lot grading issue, but it's not something that's in our regulations. It's not something that we can enforce. The district doesn't have enforcement ability.
And you'll only respond if they call you. You're not going knocking on their door.
Right.
If saying, got any problem, guys? I'm here to help.
Right.
But you know that it's going to flood. We toured it, and you showed us lots that are going to flood, and they have homes on them.
That's
so
correct.
You know that.
Yes.
Yes.
And we try to catch things before there's a problem, but like I said, we don't have enforcement. There's no regulation statewide, and there's nothing countywide to make them conform to some kind of standard.
What do the other two counties do?
Well,
is there any enforcement, anything different in Kent County that we're not doing to maybe alleviate some of Joan's concerns? Because I don't want to start a whole new department, which basically duplicates what you're doing out there. I'd rather, you know, somehow, you know, get more money to you guys, and because you've got the expertise, we don't want to have everybody tripping over each other and stuff. So I'd rather see you all do the work. But anyway, does Kent County do something different?
In Kent County, there is a drainage code,
yes,
that is somewhat vague. And but my understanding from the Kent Conservation District is that they do have an understanding with Kent County that they do provide the lot grading inspection, and what they're looking for is
who does the lot grading inspection, the county or the conservation district?
The conservation district.
You guys do it, okay.
Yeah, in Kent County. And so what they're looking for is stabilization of that lot, and they're also looking for it's a visual inspection for positive drainage away from that lot.
They're up a little higher than we are, though.
True.
Yeah.
So most of what you do is you're looking at the large drainage problems. You're not looking at the individual lots or a couple lots and stuff like this. And that's what's being lost in the whole thing. Is there a possibility, Everett, to create, we talked about special tax districts. Remember, Mr. Joe Conaway was in here pushing it for infrastructure things, for like highways, et cetera, et cetera. Is it possible to take a page out of that book and say maybe create special tax districts for subdivisions so that they would have money set aside so that if, you know, escrowed it or something, and so if something came up where they had drainage problems, there'd be some money that is being proffered by that subdivision, the people who live there, not the rest of the tax base. I don't think my, you know, my tax dollar should be subsidizing some of these developers building just haphazardly and, you know, pushing dirt all over the place and nobody's watching them. And it comes back and somehow I'm paying for it.
Yeah, but a lot of the places that flooded were not new.
Well, I know, but residences. I'm just saying on new places, I'm trying to move forward. Right. We're trying to go back and see if we can fix things. But
Right. Could
we say, you know, with a subdivision come in, part of the subdivision approval process is that now there's a, you've got to create a fund or everybody in that community, there'll be X amount of dollars that would be collected every year. We could do it, you know, through the county tax collection system.
Well, obviously, we would need to look at a special ordinance for that if we would do that.
But that's a possibility. Then there could be a pool of money. So if that subdivision has drainage problems in the future, they could then tap into that money to pay them to get the work done.
Yeah.
But then my tax dollars or Sam's or somebody who doesn't live in that community doesn't have the problem, isn't subsidizing it.
Kent County government is looking into that, and they're kind of in the planning stages of planning to implement that exact process.
Something like what I just said?
Something like whereas a development comes in, they create a special, they're calling them stormwater districts, that will kind of collect money, create a pot of money to maintain the stormwater BMPs, mm-hmm. And then looking to expand that into the conveyance systems that take the water to the BMPs.
Mm-hmm.
So that is being looked at in
it'd be like a homeowner. Homeowners associations are always created now when you have a new subdivision, and people are paying into that, right? So you just calculate whatever they're paying into it to include something for drainage, so that there are problems in the future, there'd be some money there for them, not my money, but mm-hmm. their money to help. So if they buy into that community, maybe they know there's a bit of comfort there that there's something that will help.
I believe, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but it's my understanding that if there's an older community that wants to come into that system, they've set up, I think, similar to what you guys do with roads, where there's like a loan system, and then they develop the district, they loan the money from the county, then pay that back, and then continue to pay that forward. I believe that is also being talked about for addressing issues in older communities.
Mm-hmm. Providing you got somewhere to run that water.
Providing that there's an outlet.
And in
areas in Sussex County that, you know, that will be an issue for sure.
You got to have ditches, and they should look at this. Somebody's really short-sighted, and it almost goes back to the homeowner himself. And I know it's hard words for some, but my dad was, he graduated out of school over 100 years ago. And he said to go buy a piece of land, go after a big rain.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go down and buy a piece of land in the basin and then expect the county to bail you out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that way. And you got to look around. You got to find out where this water's being drained. You're going to live there for years in this home. So you should spend a little bit of time figuring out where you want to live and what kind of drainage you have. It's that simple to me.
Well, Sam, the problem is when a subdivision gets approved now, they've gone through all this drainage and they've got all these drainage plans. And if you showed somebody, you would say, yes, it's all been looked at. It's going to work because it's all been engineered.
I agree.
So there's a lot to happen since your father went to high school.
I understand, George.
Did he graduate?
Huh? Did he graduate?
Let's not get it. let's stay on.
He went
on
to college, according to you.
Any more questions from council or comments from council?
Yeah, I do. The issue with respect to someone building up their lot and the water draining over to an adjoining property would seem to me a legal recourse is available. I mean, if you do something that harms my property value, such as, well, maybe this is a question for our attorney. Is there a legal recourse?
Well, there is such thing as water trespass. So if you have a piece of property, two lots next to each other, and someone builds their lot up higher that creates that flow of water to trespass on the neighbors, there is a recourse, and there is a tort action for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Vance, you remember us going down around the whole area there? What was the name of that area?
Yeah.
And we went down there, and this person was complaining that their neighbor had built up their lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd raised it about a foot. But as I went down and looked the area over, Vance, I rode down, this other poor guy is living right on the bay. I said, well, you need a ditch to go on out to your bay. Well, I went out, and he said, I got a ditch. So I went out and checked the ditch. The ditch is right full. It comes all the way back to his drain. The water's this much higher on the drain coming out of the bay. So how can you blame the neighbor for putting water on his property? See, actually, the neighbor is smart for raising it up a little bit. His solution would have been, should have either raised the house up a couple of feet when he built the thing. Somebody was asleep, and he wants to blame everybody else for his actually, it was negligent what he did.
Well, Sam, I live right next door to Summercrest, and they've got a mountain of fill sitting there, and I don't know what they're going to do with it, but I don't want them raising their level so high that our home gets flooded, and we do have a basement, and I'm not the only person could be subject to that.
Oh, it sounds like there is, it's against the law to do that.
That's what I say so too. If the water is actually, of course, how often, I don't know. We all complain, we're worrying about groundwater, we want drinking water, and then we don't want no water to stay in our yard for 24 hours so it can sink in the ground. We all just want to run it to the bay right away, make it salt water. So then we're complaining we don't have drinking water. So I don't know what.
Well, the house you showed us that's abandoned and the mortgagee is wondering what they're going to do with it now, next to the lot that was raised up, it's falling apart. I mean, it's going to be valueless. And that's, you know, to sue, how I understood from what I was told on the tour that that's very hard to prove that case because you have to know exactly when it happened and you have to have a lot of details and facts in that lawsuit that you might not have. So, you know, I don't know. Well, is
that
true?
Yeah, I don't think we had any attorneys on that tour.
We didn't have any attorneys on the tour, but we had the Sussex Conservation District.
They're not attorneys.
Right, that's right. I'm asking the question.
As it's been explained to me over the years that you have to be able to prove damages to your property from that, and that's an expensive and difficult proposition.
That's my
and
point.
I am not an attorney.
Let's not get bogged down on this. This isn't the solution to this problem, folks. Going to court, please.
No, it's not.
Please, let's get back. There's ways to do it. Other counties do it. It just, how does Sussex County want to do it? I would prefer if we're going to approach something in this area that we don't start a whole new drainage department at Sussex County, because we have one right outside of town. So if there's a way that we can, you know, get the funding to make sure they do it and cross all the, you know, T's and everything, but it's a small lot owner that's being affected, and we need to have some kind of protection maybe for that.
Mm-hmm.
And these developers are, they're breaking up all these subdivisions, and none of them are communicating. You got, you know, three different major builders doing whatever they feel like doing. And since we don't have the strict regulations they have in other parts of the country where they come from, they can't believe it. They're just pushing dirt anywhere they want. So, you know, maybe there needs to be something done, but I don't want to see, like, again, Sussex County Council, start a whole new department, a whole bunch of inspectors going out. You guys got the expertise. Let's tap into, you know, your ability and see if we can somehow work out something to do it that way. So,
any more questions or comments from council?
That'd be the way to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Lawson, let's move on the agenda. Let's move around. But let's do the caroling on the circle recognition.
Okay.
Kids came back to school.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today we're going to recognize caroling on the circle food drive participants. This past December marked the 28th annual caroling on the circle and food drive. The event raised 29,130 canned goods and food items, and I understand they are still collecting items currently. We could not have done this without the efforts of our partners in the community who helped collect food during the month of December. I wanted to recognize a list of the folks that participated in this event that collected over 1,000 items, and we've got plaques for those that are in attendance. Let me run through the list first. Sussex County Council and the county employees collected over 3,200 items. Sussex County Association of Realtors, Fuquay, Urey, and Willard Law Firm, Delaware Manufactured Homeowners Association, Beacon Middle School, North Georgetown Elementary School, Georgetown Middle School, the Pumpkin Chunkin Association, Colonial East LP, Milton Elementary School, First State Manufactured Housing Association, and the grand winner, collecting over 3,800 items plus 23 hams, Pat's Aircraft Services. Thank you all very much for your participation. We have some plaques here for those of you that are on hand. We'd like to hand out.
Mr. Wilson, would you be so kind as to hand those out, sir?
Thank you.
I think they're in order. First is Colonial East LP, Steve Class.
Hey, I'm here.
Oh, who's that guy?
Lewis and Barbara Geibel, Delaware Manufactured Homeowners Association. Sorry about that.
He's in my district.
Sure, buddy.
Huh?
Thank you. You can get down there if you want.
What's Sam doing down there?
Get his picture taken.
He's vice president of council.
Oh, is he vice president? That it? Okay.
If you read under the
Fuquay, Urey, and Willard, Lisa Massey, and Jill Litton.
Oh, this is the only vice one. President.
Paul goes
okay.
Downhill.
All right,
right.
Well,
this is the only one he gets.
This is my district, George's district.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
These are your district here?
I don't know which district.
Fuquay, Urey, Urey?
No.
Well,
no.
Okay, I don't know. You said you're. I'm sorry.
You don't be so smart. it was.
The previous one.
In the past.
I'm sorry, okay.
I represent the whole county, so I like them all.
Yes, me too. Me too.
I just happen to come from the district.
Georgetown Middle School, John Torslin. Oh, you're not John. That's all right. What's your name?
Don't need to, do you, George?
Nobody's called. Who remember this show?
They can't call you.
Yeah, how about that?
Because they don't know your number.
That's right.
It's in the book.
You don't answer that phone.
I don't know who I'm working.
Take care of your constituents.
I don't know.
You don't do anything.
Everybody knows where to find me.
Yeah, right. No, they don't.
Thank you, Michelle. Milton Elementary School. Scott Pierce, I think you have some students with you as well, Mr. Pierce. Great. That's great. I heard that. You guys aren't nice.
I don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
Young man.
That's my district there.
World Pumpkin Chunkin Association, Frank Shade.
Which side do you want?
Yep, that was terrible. That was my district.
I want to be like the thorn between the two roses. Here's the hair.
You want to get out of that picture?
Yeah, get that picture.
And last but not least, Pat's Aircraft, Teresa Williams, and Bob Schinholt. Yes. Appreciate it.
You hold this plaque up, it's yours. that it was a donation, so you can buy some new batteries.
Thank you all. Thank you, Pats. And thank you all for participating.
All right, sir.